I want to go back to that exchange. He is risen.
He is risen.
You know, that's a truth that our world needs to grasp. That Jesus is risen. He's risen indeed. This Sunday goes by a whole lot of different names, doesn't it? Some call it Easter. That's kind of the traditional, more modern name for this day, Easter Sunday. I like the term Resurrection Sunday because I think that cuts right to the chase and reminds us what we're celebrating, what we're thinking about, what we're thankful for, and that's the resurrection of Jesus. But today, as you've heard on the announcements and from the other pastors, we are calling today Victory Sunday. It's just something the Lord stirred in my spirit for the last several weeks. Victory Sunday, because that's really what this is all about. This is about victory. This is about the victory that Jesus has over death, over hell, over sin, over brokenness, over Satan, over the world. We're celebrating victory. And I'm pretty good at that because Baylor won again yesterday. That's my alma mater. So I'm getting really good at celebrating victories lately. And but this is, I should not make that comparison because that's nothing. I mean, we're talking about the victory of all victories. We're talking about the victory over death. We're talking about the resurrection of Jesus. Here's the evidence that it happened. It's found in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. After the Sabbath at the dawn the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone and he sat on it. I want to stop there because I always think that's interesting that that's in the Bible. It doesn't say that he rolled back the stone. It says he rolled back the stone and he sat on it. And I think it's significant because I think it was just, I mean, come on, think about that. The angel rolls back the stone and he just sits on it. You know how he's going like, look at that. You see that? Did you check that out? You didn't see that coming, did you? Anyway, let's move on. So he rolled back the stone and he sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that he didn't say it to the guys, you know, anyway, but anyway, he said to the guys were already afraid. They were like dead men, right? But do not be afraid, he says to these Jesus followers, these women, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now, my mission is over. I've told you. I added that mission is over thing. But he has risen. He has risen. He has risen. Those three words basically are the definition of victory. He has risen. Victory. He has risen. Victory, 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 victory. I was thinking this week about the power of God. How many of you do that every once in a while? You just sit back and you just kind of contemplate about the power of God. He's all powerful. I think that probably the second most powerful thing that we encounter is death. Death. Next to God, death is probably the most powerful. I know some of you were thinking I was going to say the mainstream media was the next most powerful force in the universe. Or maybe the social media fact checkers maybe are the most powerful force other than God on the universe. Or maybe a political party. No. Death. Because who can overcome death? Scripture says in Hebrews 9:27 that we're all destined to die once and then to face judgment. That's pretty powerful. No one can stop it. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is Victory Sunday. This is Resurrection Sunday. Somebody did stop it. Jesus. Somebody did stop death. Jesus stopped death. He's the only one who's gone into death, come out living, never to return to death again. Somebody did stop this second most powerful force in the universe. Jesus stopped it. He stopped death. He is risen, so there is victory over death and hell. And that's point number one today on this Resurrection Victory Sunday. Because Jesus has risen, there is victory over death and over hell. Jesus willingly gave himself up to death. Let's remember that. He willingly went to the grave. But death couldn't hold him. We just sang those lyrics. Isn't that great? I love that song. Death could not hold you. The veil torn before you. And I don't remember the rest of the words because I'm a guy, right? So anyway. But death could not hold Jesus. It says this in Acts 2:24. I love this passage. It says, but God raised him from the dead, speaking of his son Jesus. God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death. Why? Because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. It was impossible for death to overcome Jesus. It was impossible for death to win, because we're talking about Jesus, the Son of God. So it's Victory Sunday. Jesus has victory over death. But I want to make sure we understand this, that it's not just like Jesus, whew, he escaped it by the skin of his teeth, which is a weird saying in the first place, but by the skin of his teeth, he escaped death. Man, we got lucky, didn't we? No, that's not at all what happened. See, Scripture says that Jesus just didn't escape death. Jesus conquered death. Thank you. Jesus has full authority over death and Hades. It says this in Revelation 1:18. This is Jesus speaking himself. He says, I am the living one. I was dead. And now look, I am alive forever and ever. But then he says, and I hold the keys to death and Hades. It's not just about Jesus escaping death. It's about Jesus kicking death's butt. And that's not in the Bible, but that's just, I guess, how it came out to me today. It's about Jesus fully conquering, taking the keys, the authority, everything, every power that death and hell thought that it had, Jesus took it. He grabbed it. That's why we're celebrating today. We're not just celebrating something that happened 2,000 years ago and, wow, that was cool. We're talking about celebrating something here that's changed the world, history for all time. Jesus taking the keys, the authority of death and hell. I read an analogy this week. This is why I have these two props up here on stage with me, a dustpan and a garbage can. So some of you are wondering what is going on here. And it's just like, well, you know, sometimes they leave the stage a little messy after worship. Actually, they don't. I don't see a spot or anything up here. Because not only can they just lead us into some serious worship in the presence of God, but they're pretty cleanly too. So this is great. So anyway, but I read this analogy this week, and it basically was talking about how death resembles a dustpan. All right. And by the way, this is dusty because this is my dustpan and I use it. And so anyway, it's dusty, but death resembles a dustpan. And what does a dustpan do? It collects dust, right? It goes around and all the dust gets put into the dustpan. And then the dustpan empties itself into a garbage can, right? Where the garbage stays. Well, of course, we then empty the garbage can into a bigger garbage can, and then into a bigger garbage can, into a garbage truck, into another. Anyway, it goes on and on, but it stays in the garbage can essentially, right? And the analogy is like this. It's like the dustpan is death. The garbage can is hell. And this just is how things are in this broken world right now. People are getting swept up into the dustpan of death. We just read it in Hebrews 9:27, right? It's destined for all to die once and then to face judgment. People are getting swept up into this dustpan of death. Where will they end up? Without the one who conquered death and holds the keys of death and Hades, they will end up right here. They will end up right here. Never to come out. This is why it is so important that we share this truth, this reality, this amazing news that there is one who has overcome death and hell. There is one who death and hell could not hold. There is one who has the keys, the authority over these two very real things called death and hell. His name is Jesus, and people need to know him because it's God. God's not designed us to die. Did you know that when we were created, when God created all things, 6 days rested on the seventh, right? He said, this is good after we created mankind. He did not create us to die. We were never created to die. Death entered this world, not because God brought death, but because sin brought death into the world. And ever since then, it's been sweeping people up into this dustpan of death and depositing them into the garbage can. I'll use the scary term, eternal damnation, right? But that's true. God doesn't want this to happen to those he knit together in their mother's womb, those whom he created to know him, to enjoy him, to live with him forever. Scripture says God doesn't want anybody to be lost in this way, but for all to be saved. And that salvation comes through the one who defeated, conquered, and took the authority, the keys of this death and this Hades. His name is Jesus, the resurrected King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Do you know him? Praise God. And if you don't, as Pastor Phil said earlier, it's God's heart and it's his desire and his will that you would know him, that you would know his son Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you would know the victory that is in Christ Jesus. And that's not eternal death, but that's victory. Amen? Amen. Amen. You like that, huh? You like that? I got a chuckle from my wife on that one. That's a win right there. I can just pray and we can be all done this morning. That's good. But there's more. We've already talked about how the victory that we're celebrating is the victory that Christ has over death and over hell. But there's more. There's more. It's kind of like the Ginsu knife commercial. How many of you are familiar with the Ginsu knife commercials from back in the day? If you're as old as I am and you watched any TV, you couldn't miss them, right? They were on all the time. We didn't have this video on demand thing where you could just skip through and not watch commercials. You had to sit through the commercials. And so you heard this, hey, wait, there's more. For only $19.95, there's more. You can get a pair knife that'll cut through a nail like this and then slice through a pineapple. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about, right? Amen, right? Okay, those are probably good knives. I never owned a Ginsu knife, but there's more. And that's what I wanted to say. There's more. This keeps getting better and better and better. The celebration, the victory, the resurrection just keeps getting better and better and better. And we gotta know this. We gotta embrace this and live in this reality. Because Christ's resurrection also is a testimony that there is victory over Satan and the world. Victory over death, over hell. There's victory also over Satan and the broken world. Check it out. Hebrews 2:14 says, since the children, meaning the children of God, have flesh and blood, he too, meaning Jesus, shared in their humanity. He put on flesh, right? So that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. The victory of the grave is a victory over Satan. So I got a question for you. It's complete victory. When we pray and we're getting beat up by whatever it is that's coming against us, when we pray and we ask God to come rescue us and to save us and deliver us, does God get off his throne? Does Jesus get off his throne, run around, look for the devil and wrestle him down again, you know, and give him a noogie and say, hey, remember, I got the victory? No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't need to do that. Why? Because the victory has been won over Satan. It is finished. He doesn't have to run around and find the devil and wrestle him down again and beat him again and win again. He has won. The devil is defeated. So if Jesus isn't running around having to win yet another victory over Satan, then I don't think we should be doing that either. I don't think that we should be running around, you know, going, oh man, I need to beat the devil again. I need to beat Satan back again. I need to win over Satan again. No, Scripture says the victory is ours because the battle is the Lord's. If the battle is the Lord's, the battle is won, then the victory is ours, the victory is ours. We don't have to run around looking for Satan and wrestling him down and shouting him down all the time. Jesus isn't doing that. It's a one and done, baby. It is finished. It is finished. The victory of the resurrection of Jesus is a victory over Satan. Sometimes we fall into a trap, and I'm guilty of it. Boy, am I guilty of this one. It's not that bad, but hear me out here. We fall into a trap of kind of overplaying things sometimes. It's like we already win the argument, but we keep arguing anyway. And then we go from winning the argument to becoming very annoying to being in a worse position than we were before. How many of you men do that with your wife ever, right? I do that, right? And so we have a little code now that basically says, I agree, you know, I agree. And that means, okay, shut up, Eric. I got it. I agree with you. You don't need to keep selling me on the idea. And I heard this story from Pastor Gary Kinneman one time. He's been my pastor for years and really still is. He's part of the board of directors here at Evident Life Church. And he was in a board meeting with his board of directors at Word of Grace Church back in the day, and he was selling one of his ministry ideas. And I'm sure it was an amazing ministry idea. The Lord did so much, there's so much good fruit that came out of those years at Word of Grace, and some of you might even be some of the fruit from that right here. But he was in a board meeting selling one of his master plans for, you know, bringing Jesus to the community. Ouch. And so he's going. He's about, you know, 10, 20 minutes into selling it, and the board's already saying, you know, yeah, we agree. But Pastor Gary doesn't stop, man. He just keeps selling it because it's such a good idea. And I mean, I don't know, maybe he just wanted to hear, oh, it's definitely, I don't know what he wanted out of it. But finally, the chairman of the board, Harold, spoke up and he said, Gary, look, 10 minutes ago, we said that we supported your proposal. But if you keep talking about it, we're going to vote it down. And okay, why'd I tell that story? Because I think sometimes we do that with the Lord. It's like, oh God, deliver me. Oh God, give me victory. And the Lord's like, look at the cross, look at the resurrection, read my word. You already have it. And we keep going, oh, but God, I need the victory. But God, I want the victory. And it's like, are you kidding me? God has victory. Jesus has the victory over Satan. He's not wrestling with him anymore. We don't need to wrestle with him anymore. We need to walk in that victory. Hold on to that victory. Declare that victory. Jesus also has victory through the resurrection over this broken world. John 12:31, now is the time for judgment on this world. Now is the time for judgment on what? This world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. See, the victory of Jesus was complete. Again, death, hell, Satan, and then Satan's system, which is this broken, fallen world. Jesus has the victory over this broken, fallen system, this world that we live in. And I know sometimes it's hard to understand that and comprehend that and believe that because we're living in this crazy dichotomy of the now and the not yet. Right? Where the kingdom of God is now. It is here right now. Now, right? But it's not here yet. We're still in this brokenness. Why? And I'll just go off on this really quick right here just so we have an understanding of this, because it can be hard to understand the now and the not yet. If Jesus already has victory over this broken world, this world where, I mean, it's just like what's wrong is right, what's right is wrong. It's everything's turned upside down, right? You read the news, it'll drive you crazy. You'll just want to move to, well, there's nowhere else to move. Everywhere else is messed up too, all right? So there, get along with it, right? Stay here, stay the course, persevere, be the salt and light. The world needs you right here, right now. But things are messed up. Jesus won the victory, but why aren't we seeing it? Why is there still all this brokenness? Why aren't we at Revelation 21, verse 5, where he's made all things new? Because there's many things that need to take place between now and then that are sovereign and divine in God's plan. Like, God doesn't want anyone to perish, Scripture says. Why is he waiting to come back? Scripture says he's being patient with mankind, not wanting anyone to perish. He's giving people a chance to turn to him. He's giving families, people groups, ethne, people groups, opportunity to hear the gospel, to hear the word, and to turn to salvation in Christ Jesus. And so here we are in this everything is awesome world, but everything is messed up. But just because everything's messed up, we have to remember that we are living in that reality that the kingdom has come and Jesus does have the victory over this world. With the chaos going around us, Jesus has the victory. Does that mean that we check out? No. It doesn't. Part of the victory, part of God's plan is to have his remnant, to have his salt and light here in this broken world, to bring his kingdom, to bring the gospel, to see people getting saved, pulled out of darkness, pulled out of this, right? And brought into the marvelous light of Christ Jesus. So we don't check out. We don't hide behind the sovereignty of God. We step out in the sovereignty of God and we be the church very present at such a time as this. So Christ came out of death and Hades triumphantly. But here's the deal. Satan and the broken world didn't. That's where they will spend eternity. Locked up. But not where the people of God will be. Amen? That's victory. This is Victory Sunday. It's Victory Sunday. God wants us, though, to move, I believe, beyond simply talking about it and clapping about it. But before we move on, I want to clap about it and be excited. Let's thank God for victory, okay? That's appropriate. Thank you, Jesus, for the victory. Thank you, Jesus, for the victory. But God wants us, God's heart for mankind is for us to move beyond thinking about it, remembering it, and clapping about it. He wants us to move into actually embracing the victory, applying it to our lives, and living in the victory, speaking the victory, walking in the victory. So point number three, there is victory, and it's ours right now. There is victory in Christ, and that victory is ours right now, today. It's like the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Philippi, in Philippians 3:12, he said, not that I've already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to do what? To take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of for me. What did Jesus take hold of for us? Victory. Resurrection, eternal life. And Paul says, hey, I'm not there yet. I'm still on this side, right? I'm still dealing with this broken world. Not that I'm already there, not that I'm fully sanctified and all that, but here's what I am doing, I know I'm doing, is I'm taking hold of what Christ Jesus took hold of for me. I'm taking hold of that resurrection power. I'm taking hold of the fullness of the grace of God right now. I'm applying it to my life. I'm living in it, and I'm letting it flow out of me. See, it's good to talk. It's good to celebrate this victory, but God wants us to embrace it and live it. In fact, I want to say this world needs a church that's living this, that's demonstrating victory. The world doesn't need a church that's walking around and going, oh yeah, we're just messed up too. We're no different than you are. Are you kidding me? I'm going to tell you this, not in an arrogant way or anything. Please don't ever tell somebody who doesn't know Jesus, who's not born again, that you're no different than they are. Please don't do that. You can tell them that you've been where they've been. You can tell them you've been where they've been. But you need to tell them who you are now in Christ Jesus, because they need hope for that. They're longing for that. They know where they are right now. And they don't need somebody else just to come alongside of them and hold their head. They need somebody to bring them into life. It's false humility to say, oh man, we're just like the world. And we're, are you kidding me? Then what did Jesus do? Then who are you? Who are we? There's a theology actually being taught, has been taught for quite a while from a lot of pulpits, that I believe really cheapens the grace of Christ, the work of Christ on the cross, the victory of the resurrection, denies about half of the work, it denies about half of the power and grace of God. And it's a theology and a teaching that says, oh yeah, man, we embrace the cross, we embrace the resurrection. Jesus has justified us. Jesus has set us free. He's forgiven us. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. But then it basically stops there and says, but you know, we're still really sinners, controlled by our sinful nature. And it's like, I don't get, I want to scream, I want to shake people, I want to jump up and down and become that guy, you know what I'm saying? But it really hurts my heart. Scripture says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And then it says that the old is gone. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. If we're in Christ Jesus, we are new creations. We're not the old. We don't identify with the old any longer. To do that would be to deny what Christ has done in and for our lives. To do that would be to cheapen the work of Christ. To do that would be false humility. To do that would be a lie. It would be a lie. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm a child of God now by the work of Christ, only because of his grace and his goodness and his love. I've been adopted into the family of God. I didn't deserve it, but God's grace, his goodness, his victory, his resurrection applied to my life, that free gift made it so. And I want to honor God by acknowledging that. When people ask, who are you? Why are you different? Well, I'm not any different than you are. No. Let me tell you why I'm different. There's only one reason I'm different. There's only one reason. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. You see, I've been made into a new person because of Jesus. Who I used to be is gone now because of Jesus. The fact that Christ won the victory over sin and death, it's a literal victory that we should experience and walk in and step in and confess and declare and show others right now. Right now. Right now. I want to get to the title of today's message. And then I've got 12 more points. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. You've heard that saying, you know, man, it's kind of like maybe last night's ball game with Gonzaga against UCLA. And they're in overtime, and there's 1.3 seconds left, and they're coming up the court, right? And they shoot that last second shot, and it banks off, and it goes in, and they have the victory. They better enjoy it because they're going to lose tomorrow night. But anyway, so people use the saying sometimes, you know, they grabbed victory out of the jaws of defeat. You've heard people use that saying before. Wow, he just grabbed a victory out of the jaws of defeat. I want to say to us, as those who are new creations in Christ Jesus, let's stop grabbing defeat out of the jaws or out of the hands of victory. Do you know what I'm saying? We have the victory. We have the victory. Let's stop going and grabbing hold of defeat again. Let's stop looking back and grabbing hold of and identifying with the old man, the old woman. Let's stop confessing those things of the past and that being our identity. Let's stop walking in a false humility. Let's walk in victory. Let's walk in who we are in Christ Jesus right now. Not arrogantly, humbly. To give God all the glory is a beautiful act of humility. To share with people that the reason that you're different is not because of you or because of something you did or didn't do in the past or even today, but it's because of something the Son of God, Jesus, did those 2,000 years ago. That's humility. And that's humility that will draw people to salvation. Again, I want to say it, that this world needs a church, needs a remnant that knows who they are and that is embracing who they are. New creations, royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people. Everybody should raise their hand there. A lot of peculiar people here, right? Anyway, the world doesn't need people who are walking along and running around saying that they're just still lost and broken. They need the ambassadors of Jesus, those who've been set free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. That means like free for real. That means like free right now, not just in the sweet by and by, but a freedom that people can see, a freedom that we can enjoy, a freedom to say no to sin where it used to control us. A freedom to think and do things God's way now, when before that was nowhere on our radar. It could never be apart from Christ. But we're people now who are walking in the victory. We're walking in the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus. I want to pray this prayer over us right now. If you want to bow your heads, this prayer comes from the Apostle Paul from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. So Lord, I pray that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened, in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, God, the riches of your glorious inheritance that's for us, your holy people. God, I pray that our eyes and our hearts may be enlightened to the incomparably great power that is for us who believe upon Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that power that is the same as the mighty strength that you exerted when you raised your Son, Christ Jesus, from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly realms. God, may we know that far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion in every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but in the age to come. And God, you place things all things under the foot of your Son Jesus, and appointed him to be head over everything, over us, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Yes, Lord, open the eyes of our hearts and our minds, Lord. May we know who we are. May we embrace who we are. May we walk live, speak from the place of victory, not our victory, but your victory that we get to enjoy. So we're going to stop grabbing defeat out of the hands of victory. Amen. We're going to be embracing victory, celebrating victory, enjoying victory, sharing that victory with others, those others who are being swept up. There's so many that don't have the victory that you have, being swept up only to be discarded right here. It's God's desire that those beautiful people that he's created in his image would be swept up into his arms, into relationship with him, into knowing him, being fully alive and victorious in him. I want to finish with this passage of scripture from 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in the second half of verse 54. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Amen? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us what? The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Death could not hold. Let's stand and worship. Let's stand and worship.
Silence the
monster. Yes, Lord.